Now we're going to get to how words matter. I got a friend of mine, Major Manning, who reminds me of that. Words do matter, and we have to understand the words that we use and what they mean. All humans by nature desire to know. All humans by nature desire to know. And what is it they desire to know? The truth. And the truth isn't something, it's a somebody. That's Christ. That phrase I use, all humans desire to know, that comes from Aristotle's, that's his first line of his Metaphysics. All of us, it's written in the fabric of our soul, we desire to know. Is there an eagerness to know truth? And again, what is truth? It's Christ. I'm just going to read you a little passage here from the Homiletic Pastoral Review by a guy, a gentleman named Paul Kokowski. Man increasingly rejection of objective truth resides in his growing disdain for authority as an intolerable burden. When truth is no longer seen as that which sets man free, but rather something from which man needs to be set free, man becomes more at home in the darkness than in the light. This can lead to paralysis of morality and even suppression of the awareness of guilt. End quote. So what he's saying there, when we don't understand what truth is and we don't gravitate or seek truth, we get lost in sin. And the enemy is going to do all types of temptations and tricks and deceits to get you lost in sin. So it's important to understand what objective truth is. Objective truth. So words matter. Get a little illustration on what objective truth is. So objective truth is something that's timeless. It always existed. It's consistent. It happens everywhere in the universe. And it doesn't need man to exist. Whether we agree with it, disagree with it, or even understand it, it is what it is. It exists. All right, so here's an example of objective truth in the physical world. Gravity. All right, pretty simple principle, right? What does gravity do? All right, pretty simple, right? All right. I think gravity is unfair. It's a medieval thought. It needs to be upgraded. It's not with the times. It infringes on my lifestyle. What does that sound like, right? I disagree with it. It's not fair. It discriminates. Okay, let's see what gravity thinks of my argument. All right, what else do we hear with objective truth? No, it doesn't exist. Gravity does not exist. It's a lie. It's a lie, okay? I'm at the edge of a cliff. Gravity doesn't exist. I'm going to take that step. Let's see what happens. Gravity wins every time, my friends. Every time. That's in the physical world, right? So even the atheist will agree with objective truth in the physical world. Where they get lost is in the spiritual realm. Objective truth exists in the spiritual realm, right? Truth, lies, evil, murder, abortion, all those things, they're wrong. They've been wrong from the very beginning of time to the end of time. They're always wrong. St. Augustine and St. Thomas Aquinas tells us, grace builds upon nature. Grace builds upon nature. Grace builds upon principles. So these principles that we see in the physical world, they translate even more so in the spiritual realm. And the church teaches us. We got these wonderful saints and the doctors of the church that teach us about objective truth and the virtue of truth. So when we deny objective truth in the spiritual realm, you see how we can get ourselves in trouble, get ourselves in a lot of trouble when we think it's unfair or it doesn't exist. Okay, leadership. There's a lot of different definitions on what leadership is. In the secular world, we confuse it with management. There's a profound difference between a manager and a leader. Christ was not a manager, right? He did not manage with PowerPoints, budget numbers, political correctness. He led. He led from the front with sacrifice, humility. The essence of leadership in its most common denominator, simplest form, is sacrifice and humility. It's about the men and the mission come first, not you, the men and the mission. So we confuse management and leadership in today's modern world. Two different precepts. We also confuse leadership with it has to be a title. You have to be a chief executive officer, or you have to be a high-ranking official. Mahatma Gandhi, right? He didn't have any official position. Look what he did in India. It's an example of leadership. Mother Teresa, her only title was a simple nun. She, at the end of her mission, she opened up 610 missionary houses around 123 countries around the world, feeding the poor, the sick, the dying, and the suffering. She's an example of leadership in action. So leadership, you take action. Regardless of your vocation in life, whether you're a dad, a priest, a bricklayer, a humble brother, you're all called to lead. You're all called to lead others towards Christ. You influence other people by your words and by your actions. And what you fail to do, your people are always watching you, your kids, your parents, your coworkers. So understand, leadership doesn't mean that you have to get up and talk and have beautiful rhetoric. It's your actions. You'll be judged by your actions. In understanding this concept of leadership, we must understand also that we're in a battle. And if we don't understand we're in a battle, you're ill-prepared. One little quote I want to give you, though, on leadership, I got from D. Hawk. He's a businessman, and I thought this was a wonderful quote. Given the right circumstances, from no more than dreams, determination, and the liberty to try, ordinary people do extraordinary things. To lead is to create those circumstances, then go before and show the way. So look what Christ, let's turn back to Christ. What did Christ do? He took 12 men, mostly fishermen, uneducated fishermen, and lit the world on fire. That's who Christ picked. He didn't wait for the apostles to come to him. He went to the apostles and grabbed them and said, you come with me, right? Leadership in action. Okay. Now, let's understand that we're in a battle. All right, we're at war, gentlemen. And I don't mean a war in a physical war, but a spiritual war. Not because I say so, because our church and our faith teaches us. Even St. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6, right, that we're in a fight, that we're in a struggle, not with flesh and blood, but with powers and principalities, right? Fallen angels. We are at war. Let me read you another quote on understanding, recognizing this battle. The whole of man's history has been the story of dire combat, with the powers of evil stretching, so our Lord tells us, from the very dawn of history until the last day. Finding himself in the midst of this battlefield, man has to struggle to do what is right. And it is at great cost to himself and aided by God's grace that he succeed in achieving his own inner integrity. That comes from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. I don't know how much clearer they can write it. You're at war. And that we have to turn to God to receive those graces to fight the good fight. If we don't, we can't fight the good fight. We'll always fall, each and every one of us. Each and every one of us has a story that we can share. When we're separated from God and we're living a life that we shouldn't be living, we do the things that we shouldn't be doing. So understand that you're in a battle. And in these principles, I'll give you an example how these principles transfer from the physical world to the spiritual realm. When we're deployed overseas and when I'm in Iraq with my team, if I was to step outside the wire and I'm going into cowboy and Indian country with flip-flops and shorts because I don't think there's a battle going on, how smart is that on my part? Probably not too smart, right? Not when you got the enemy out there actively looking to kill you. And I decide to step outside the wire in shorts and flip-flops and a t-shirt. So it's the same principle in the spiritual realm. If you're just going to Mass once in a while, you're not going to confession, you're not praying, how are you preparing yourself for that spiritual fight when all hell breaks loose and everything is going wrong and you're being tempted and you're having a bad day? And you're arguing with your wife, or maybe you have an elderly parent at home that's sick, or you have someone in your family that's dying that you're taking care of, or you're struggling with some sort of addiction. How can you prepare for that fight when that fight bears down on you and you're not utilizing those principles? Like St. Augustine tells us, grace builds upon nature. So if you understand there's a fight, no different than in the physical world, if you were preparing for a road race or a sporting event, think of all the man hours that you would put in to get ready for that event, right? Running, eating right, lifting, working out, all those things. But in the spiritual realm, if you're not doing that, how do you expect to follow the Ten Commandments? How do you expect to live the life of the gospel? So understand, recognize the battle. Recognize the battle.